Well, this is 106.1 The Corner, and this morning in our Community Corner segment, we are pleased to speak with author and Christmas expert Ken Davis. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, and a very happy holiday. Merry Christmas to you. We're all feeling very Christmassy with all the white Christmas that we've gotten in our backyard.
Yeah. You're in New York, and you guys got blasted with the same snowfall we got, I think.
We got a mere taste compared to what you guys got, and we're a little more used to it up here. So,
right.
10 or 12 inches, I think, in Central Park on a Sunday just made all the kids happy and didn't slow the rest of the world down too much.
Well, it's been many years since we encountered something like the 23 or so inches around Charlottesville here, but we're digging out. We're doing okay overall.
Well, it will certainly make it a white Christmas for everyone.
That is true. That's true. Well, you in particular, we're going to talk about some of the Christmas history and some of the myths and legends and facts and so forth about Christmas, but if folks aren't familiar with your series of Don't Know Much books, maybe you can tell us a little bit about those and when they got their start.
Absolutely. The first book in what became a series, I didn't start out thinking of a series, was Don't Know Much About History, and it came out nearly 20 years ago, which is a frightening thought to me.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it took a subject that we all hated in high school and tried to make it a little bit more interesting, a little bit more fun, but most of all a little bit more human than it was in our textbooks. And Don't Know Much About History went on to sell well over 1.5 million copies. It's been around for 20 years now. It's been revised and updated a couple of times, but it did begin the Don't Know Much About series, and I've gone on to write about geography, and more specific to this conversation, Don't Know Much About the Bible and Don't Know Much About Mythology, because the fact is that almost everything that we enjoy and cherish and celebrate at this time of year is loosely based on the Bible, but really most of the traditions come from a time before Christianity. It's the mythic roots of Christmas.
Now, some of the things that caught my eye in regarding Christmas and the history and the facts were things like the Christmas tree being banned in America, nonetheless.
It was beyond the Christmas tree. It was actually Christmas itself was banned in America. You've heard about the war on Christmas, I'm sure. It's gets trotted out every year around this time by broadcasters who want to make an issue of it. But actually, Christmas was once banned in America, and surprisingly, it was by those folks who brought you the Salem witch trials, the good Puritans of Massachusetts.
Hmm.
And the reason is very clear and quite simple. Puritans did not like anybody having fun. I'm just kidding about that.
Right.
Although it's mostly true. But the Puritans who came to America, and this is in the 1600s that I'm talking about, realized that most of the Christmas celebrations, the hanging of the holly, lighting candles, singing songs, going to Mass on Christmas Day, the date December 25th itself, were all vestiges of paganism, and they didn't like it for that reason. They also didn't like the fact that they thought of it as a Catholic holiday, and the Puritans and the Catholics did not see eye to eye, and it's a very important part of American history that sometimes gets overlooked. But for a period of about 20 years, all public Christmas festivities were banned in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, as they were in England under Cromwell during his rule over England. People saw this, the Puritans saw this as a time as boisterous and feasting and card playing and dicing, and they did not like it. They thought that Christmas, the celebration of the Lord's birthday, should be a day of prayer and fasting, which is, of course, not what most of us have in mind on Christmas morning.
Our guest is author Ken Davis of the Don't Know Much series. We're talking about the true history behind Christmas and Christmas traditions. And we'll get right back to continuing our interview with Ken in just a moment. First, let's take a listen to this song. The Don't Know Much book series makes me think of the legendary Sam Cooke. Here is Wonderful World. I'm 106.1 The Corner. It's about the music.
Don't know much about history, don't know much biology, and I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
just such a legendary song. Sam Cooke's Wonderful World, 106.1 The Corner. For the Community Corner this morning, that song fits right in. We're speaking with author Ken Davis of the Don't Know Much series. It began with Don't Know Much About History and has continued. You can get more info at don'tknowmuch.com. Ken, in your research, what have you found that maybe Christmas, Kwanzaa, and Hanukkah have in common?
Well, it's all interesting because all three of them, when you think about them, are about light and renewal in a way. New things coming, the new year, the miracle of new life in a way. Christmas, of course, for Christians around the world, celebrates the birth of Jesus, the light of the world coming into the world. Hanukkah is a Jewish festival that often falls around the same time as Christmas, that celebrates the miracle in early Jerusalem of the war between the Syrians and the Jews, and there was only enough lamp oil to keep the Holy of Holies in the Temple of Jerusalem lit for one night, but miraculously it burned for eight nights. And so, once again, it's a holiday that celebrates lights. In fact, it's called the Festival of Lights.
Sure.
Fewer people are familiar with Kwanzaa, which is really a fairly recent invention in America to celebrate African traditions in an American context. But it also involves candle lighting, and it's very tied into ancient African ideas of Thanksgiving and the New Year. And all of this relates back to something very basic. We celebrated the solstice on Monday. The solstice is, of course, the moment at which the sun seemed to stand still and then begin its progression back. The day, it's the shortest day, of course, but the days were starting to lengthen. And that was a very important idea in ancient cultures, that the sun had died and gone away, in essence, and now it was starting to come back. And that's why I say almost all of our Christmas festivities really relate back to these pagan rituals and traditions that predate Christianity, and many of them have to do with the winter solstice.
I just find this so fascinating, you know, when you look back at the history and really where it all came from, you know, it does go back exactly how far. What era are we talking about
here? We're talking about people celebrating the solstice, of course, for tens of thousands of years. We know, for instance, that the Stonehenge in England is set up in such a way so it marks the solstices, both the winter and spring solstice. So this was something that was very, very important to almost every primitive culture. Same thing in Machu Picchu, the famous ruins in Peru, which were designed to mark the solstices. And the reason it's really important for Christians and this time of year is that in ancient Rome, very important ancient culture, the solstice was celebrated on the ancient Roman calendar on the day of December 25th. So here was a day celebrating the return of sun and light. They had a week-long festival called Saturnalia in honor of the god Saturn, who was an agricultural god. And it was a week of gift-giving and candle-lighting and singing songs and hanging evergreens around the house. Gee, doesn't that all sound vaguely familiar?
It sure does, yes.
Well, of course, by the year 400 or so, when the Pope was powerful enough and Christianity was established in Rome, the Pope was able to say, we will no longer celebrate this as a day of a pagan god, but we will celebrate this day, the Mass of Christ on this day. And so that's when December 25th became established as the date of Christmas. And essentially what the early church fathers were doing was saying, keep your festivals, keep your gift-giving, your candle-lighting, and your joy and happy feelings about this time, but we're celebrating Christ, not Saturn. And, of course, it was a kind of a marketing ploy, but a very successful one, because here we are 1,600 years later still celebrating Christmas on December 25th.
Well, this is Ken Davis, our guest for the Community Corner this morning on 106.1 The Corner. He is the author of Don't Know Much About History and the series that goes along with it. And Ken, I want to talk a little bit about mistletoe and the history there.
That's an interesting one, because because we all like to hang that thing up and we're not quite sure what it is and where it comes from. But once again, we have another vestige of a time before Christianity. The mistletoe is a parasitic plant, just to briefly explain it, which means it attaches to other trees and it grows. And it is an evergreen, so it is green in the midst of winter, while the tree it might be attached to is actually dead. So you have a symbol of something that's alive while everything else around it is dead. A very, very important symbol to people like the Celts and the Norse in Scandinavia, the Viking people. And in fact, the Celts believed that that mistletoe was so powerful, they called it All Heal. They thought it was would be good to heal certain things, and it was a sacred plant to them. Same thing with the Norse. It was thought to be a symbol of love and affection. Now, that's why we kiss underneath the mistletoe, because the Vikings.
Okay.
And the Celts also used to hang it in Scotland, for instance, and part of the British Isles. You hung mistletoe because it was a symbol of life and an evergreen. You hung it over the doorway. So, of course, when anybody walked in the door, you greeted them underneath the mistletoe, and that's those two traditions combined together to give us the mistletoe hanging at Christmas. But like a lot of evergreens, it became a symbol of life in the time of dead of winter. And it does flower in the winter times. That adds to it, like holly. Holly has is green and has red berries, so green for the color of life, the red berries representing the blood of Christ.
We're talking with author Ken Davis on 106.1 The Corner for the Community Corner this morning. Don't Know Much About History was his first book. He's got a whole series now, and we're talking about the true history and the true stories behind things commonly affiliated with Christmas time in the present day. And we'll continue our talk with Ken in just a few minutes. We were talking mistletoe, so here is the song, Mistletoe, Colby Calais on 106.1 The Corner.
Gray, fake plastic mistletoe, this Christmas time.
That's Colby Calais on 106.1 The Corner, an original holiday song from just the past couple of years. That one's called Mistletoe. We continue our conversation with author Ken Davis, author of Don't Know Much About History and the Don't Know Much series. Find out more at don'tknowmuch.com. We're talking about the true history behind the holiday season. And Ken, for instance, Santa's reindeer. Why 8 reindeer?
Well, we have to start this. Santa's a kind of a complicated story.
I suppose.
And yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, but Santa is, of course, the name we know is drawn from the Dutch word Sinterklaas. The Dutch brought that here when they came to America, and it means Saint Nicholas. Saint Nicholas was an early saint of the Christian Church in Turkey. He was famous for his generosity. His feast day is December 8th, so it got connected to the Advent season. Up in the north, the Norse, however, had a god named Odin, and at the solstice every year when the sun was coming back, it was Odin who brought the sun back, and he rode across the night sky on an 8-legged horse.
Hmm.
Now is you're starting to get the picture
mm-hmm.
here. Eventually, as time went by, there was a merger between the ancient figure of Odin as a seasonal figure, bringing gifts, bringing light, bringing joy, and Saint Nicholas being this man who represented charity at the time of Advent, and they got kind of mushed together in the 19th century, and that's why we have a fat man dressed in red. The red comes from the bishop's robes because St. Nicholas was an archbishop and often depicted in art wearing the robes of a bishop trimmed in white. And that's how Santa got his suit.
Ken Davis is our guest this morning on the Community Corner segment here on 106.1 The Corner. And Ken, real quick, before we let you go, we were having an argument around here just the other day about the 12 days of Christmas. And when does it actually begin, and where the heck does that come from?
Oh, that's another good one that relates again to the solstice. The Norse celebrated a 12-day festival at the solstice, and it was called, they spelled it J-U-L. We, of course, know it as Yule, and they burned a log for to last for those 12 days, and that's the Yule log. The Romans also had a 12-day festival that carried over from Saturnalia into the new year. And, of course, the early Christians were in Rome. They did as the Romans do. 12 days of Christmas actually goes from Christmas Day until the Epiphany, which is January 6th, sometimes called Three Kings Day. Those are truly the 12 days of Christmas, not the days leading up to it. So a lot of curiosity about that. Again, a hangover from pre-Christian times that early Christianity accepted and adopted to its own practices.
And also Xmas, the abbreviation. What's that all about, and when did that happen?
Well, a lot of people are upset about that. They think that this is a perfect example of how people try and take Jesus or Christ out of Christmas and put an X in his place. But actually, the X stands for Christ. In early Christianity, people would have recognized the X as coming from the Greek spelling of Jesus, which is the same also as the symbol of the fish. The first letter in Jesus was an X in Greek, and so to put X in front of Mass would not be at all unusual to an early generation Christian.
Now, you can find out more about all of these stories on your website as well, right?
That's right. I'm writing about these as we speak every day at don'tknowmuch.com. That's all one word, no apostrophe and don't. And you can read more about the myths behind Christmas there. You can read about my books and the Don't Know Much About series I write for adults and children. And again, it's a fun way to learn the stuff that we've never heard about or may have heard a little bit in Sunday school or maybe in school and wasn't that interesting when we heard it when we were kids. But I try and make it fun, interesting, but most of all human.
Now, where have you done a lot of the research for this, too? I mean, how do you find out the true histories and where it all comes
from?
Well,
especially in this age of internet, you have to be very careful. And I always make that point to kids and young students who are looking at the internet. Just because it's on your computer doesn't mean it's true. There are so many wonderful, rich sources, academic sources, scholars who write about this stuff. And what I love to do is go and find those sources, reliable sources, and try and put them in a way that's a little bit more friendly for most people and make it a little bit more accessible. Some of the academic writers, the professors, the historians, aren't always so good at explaining these things in language that we all understand. So that's what I try and do in the Don't Know Much About series. Go and do the best possible research, find these great stories, and present them to people in a way that makes them a little more accessible, and I hope lights their curiosity to find out more.
Ken Davis is our guest this morning on 106.1 The Corner, New York Times best-selling author. Don't Know Much About History is where it all started. And what's the most recent book in the series?
Well, let's see. In the Don't Know Much About series, there has been geography, history, the American Civil War, the Bible, the universe, mythology. Actually, my most recent book is outside the history. It's called America's Hidden History, and it's six stories from early American history that your textbooks left out, like the story of the real first pilgrims in America who were French in Florida 50 years before the Mayflower sailed. But that's a story for another day.
I see. Well, thank you, Ken, for giving us so much of your time this morning. I just think it's fascinating to kind of, look behind the stories and behind the traditions to find out where they really came from.
It's a fascinating story, and I think people are interested to hear it. And again, it doesn't take anything away from what Christmas means to Christians around the world, but it's always wonderful to find out where these so many rituals and traditions and things that have become part of our life come from. This is a time of light and hope and the return of hope in the midst of darkness, and that's what the season should be all about.
And you can find out more at don'tknowmuch.com. And Mr. Ken Davis, thank you very much, and Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Merry Christmas, and thanks for having me.
Author Ken Davis of the Don't Know Much series. I'm 106.1 The Corner, today's special guest for the Community Corner segment. I'm Brad Savage. Thank you for listening this morning as we were talking about the 12 days of Christmas. Here is the recent rendition of that song by the vocal group called Straight No Chaser. It was a hot YouTube commodity last holiday season, and here it is on 106.1 The Corner.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. Do, 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 do